All right, Brother Larry, here we go. Book of Revelation, chapter 6. The party's getting ready to change. But let me remind you before we start down this path, at this point in time, Christian people have already been in heaven praising the Lord. We've already had the rapture of the church. Christian people have left this planet. We've gone on to be there. We've been changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we're praising the Lord over these next 7 years in heaven. Now, to those who are left behind, they're going to see some things that this planet has never, ever seen. Make sure as I point some of this stuff out to you, if you know somebody that is lost, at the time of the rapture, this is what they're going to see. You're going to hear a lot of different terms over the next couple months. We're going to use the word called Antichrist. This is going to become the power of the world down here during the 7 years. We're going to talk a little bit about this person, the Antichrist. And he's sort of got a couple of teammates on his team that we'll introduce you to down the road. We're going to be looking at symbols of things that's going to, I'm going to try to do as best I can to point out to you what they mean, because this is not a pretty sight. Yes. Chapter 7, we're going to deal with this number called 144,000. There are all kinds of people debate who the 144,000 people are. As you well know, we have a religious-based people today who think that there are the 144,000. They're called Mormons. Okay? But I'm going to tell you right up front, bless their hearts, they missed it by a long shot. But we're going to talk about this 144,000. We're going to look at the conditions and what's going to happen in this world. 7 years. Half of that is 3.5. We're going to talk about the first half of the tribulation and the second half of the tribulation. Because what happens in the first 3.5 years is going to lead to what's going to happen in the last 3.5 years. You're going to see truly this planet fall apart, and yet you're going to see a Savior, if you will, come forward and say, hey, don't worry, we're going to put this planet back together. We're going to make things right. Quit worrying about it. And he's going to become the power, and he's called the Antichrist. And I'm going to point out to you how the first 3.5 years, he's going to look like the Savior. The last 3.5 years, his true colors is going to come out. And this is one horrible, horrible individual to rule this world during that 7 years. Are you ready to take the journey with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Remember, Jesus has the book, if you will, in his hands, the scroll. It's got how many seals it's got on it? Look at it. He's going to unwrap them one at a time. Let's see what it says. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were a noise of thunder. Anytime you see thunder, it means something's getting ready to happen. Whenever you hear thunder in the weather, you know something's getting ready to happen. Thunder and lightning, that's a pretty good warning sign that something's getting ready to happen. Is that right? Say amen.
Amen.
You with me? All right. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. Basically, he's going to look and he's going to say, come here. Here's he going to say, come to. And I saw and behold a white horse. It's like John's looking. And here, if you will, one of the beasts says, looks to the horse and says, come here. And the horse is basically going to trot up to the beast. You get the picture? Say amen. All right. He said, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Everybody know what a bow and arrow is, don't you? If you have a bow and you don't have an arrow, you ain't going to do much harm, are you?
But stick.
Huh?
You ain't got nothing but a stick.
That's right. Now there's a reason for this. Number one, let's take it apart. White horse. This person, after the rapture of the church, it will be within just probably minutes or hours, this person is going to come to the forefront of the world and say, everybody calm down. it's going to be okay. A white horse like a hero. This guy is actually going to come across at first like a hero. Hey, folks, it's okay. I know we've lost millions of people, but we're okay. We're going to be okay, and I'm going to show you. You know, I've got a lot of power myself. So he's going to come across as the hero, the nice guy, Superman. Get the picture? White horse, the hero, Lone Ranger. You understand? You get the picture? You get the symbolism? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. And he that sat on him had a bowl, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, come down on the white horse. Here comes the hero. Here comes Superman. Here comes the Lone Ranger. He's going to save the world. Okay? He's going to be Antichrist, but he's going to come across like Christ. Christ was the Savior of the world, wasn't he? But he our hero, if you will. Now, at the end of this, the true Jesus is coming on a white horse. But we're a long way from that. But here we see. Now, he's got a bow in his hand. Now, in seal number one, he just got the bow. Didn't have the arrow. Which simply means this. Means he's got the power to do something, but he's not going to do it just yet. Okay? If I walk around and I've got a bow and I'm hunting, but I haven't pulled out an arrow yet, I haven't put it in, I haven't pulled it back, I'm just ready for something, but I'm not ready to shoot it yet. Does that make sense? That's the picture I want you to see. It's like a hunter going with a bow and arrow. He hadn't put the arrow in there yet. He hadn't pulled it back. He's just got the ammunition when he gets ready for it. All he's got now is just a bow. So for the first basic 3.5 years, he's not going to really show his true colors just yet. He's building his way to the top. Okay? Now, and a crown was given unto him. Because he's going to be the Superman. He's going to be the hero. He's going to be rewarded. See, Jesus had a crown too. He carried the cross, didn't he? But he was made of thorns. This is a picture of two men, Jesus, the Antichrist, just the opposite of Jesus. But at first, because Satan's this way, Satan comes across like a wonderful person until he gets you, doesn't he? And he has a way of tempting us in all kinds of areas to set the groundwork, to make it look like it's wonderful. Then he gets you, then he traps you, and then your life's miserable. We've all been there, haven't we? Nobody here. I mean, we've all been down the roads of knowing what Satan's like. He's a deceiver. So he's going to have a crown at first, make it look like he's the hero. See, these verses are sort of setting a pattern of what we're going to see throughout the rest of the book of Revelation. It's sort of like the outline, if you will. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this conquering and conquer is not fighting. It's to become the top person of the world at the time. President, king, ambassador, I don't care whatever title you want to give him. He is truly working him way up, conquering as he goes, becoming the top individual to run this world. And basically all that is getting him ready to face Jesus and that army that's coming at the end of the 7 years. So this is what this means. This is not fighting yet, choking, killing. He's conquering to get himself to the top of the chain. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Larry, here we go. And when he had opened the second seal, now this is progression of what's going to happen over the next 7 years. I heard the second beast say, come and see. Another horse, different color. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereupon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. In the first seal, he's got the bow. Second seal, now he's got the arrow. Now, the battle's getting ready to start. Now, 7 years. All that Jesus is showing John is a progression of how it's going to go in the next 7 years. The first he's going to come across like the hero, the white horse, the Lone Ranger. He's here to help us, here to protect us. He's going to suck all of those people in. A lot of those people, not all of them, but a lot of those people in. Saying, I am the hero. I'm the man. I'm going to take care of you during this time. Now, all of a sudden, things are going to change. And about the midpoint of this 7 years, things are going to change. And I will point out through as we go through these next chapters, as we get to each one. This is just an outline. Now, he's going to say, you got to worship me. See, this is what this is coming to. Because he's going to demand worship. He's going to demand worship. He's going to demand you to bow down to him, the Antichrist. And if you don't, what's red represent? Blood. Either you worship me or you die. Don't make no difference to me. What do you want to do? You either worship me or you die. Because now he's got the sword. Which means now he's got the power. He's taken over the world. And now he's going to demand either you bow down to me or you die. You make the choice. And believe me, there are going to be some people that are going to die. There will be people that are saved through this path that are going to run from him. And their lives are going to be taken. And we're going to get into what that's going to be like. But I want you to see, this is a phase. He starts off good, great, hero, Superman. Now that he's got everybody, now he's going to say, now, I want your money, I want your life, I want your worship, because now you belong to me. I control you. And this is how it's going to set up. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, well, here we go. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And beheld, lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Black is bad. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The very first thing he's going to do. If you don't worship him, the money that you got will not be worth a penny. Because later on in this, we're going to see that he's going to make everybody take a mark. If you don't take the mark, you're not going to be able to go to whatever grocery store that you've got. I don't care if you got millions of dollars or if you've got a credit card. If you ain't got the mark, you don't get the food. What's going to happen? He's going to starve you to death. This man ain't playing. Either you're on my side, if you're against me, try to build a store. Try to buy food. See what happens. Now, look at here. And three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Oil is a major thing for wheat, bread. Wine is the drink of the day. First thing we get when we get snow, what do people go to the store and buy?
Red milk.
Red milk. Believe me, I was in that business for 5 years. You can't keep enough milk for bread, can you? I don't know what it is. But if you got children, you need milk. And bread, no matter what, bread will give you, number one, it'll give you sugar. Oh, well, I'm really impressed you now, Marshall. And sugar gives you energy. It's going to take not only the food away, but then he's going to make sure that what you go in and buy, he's going to sort of just throw it out there at you. He's going to say, oh, surely you want some bread and wine, something to drink. I mean, if someone is starving, if you want to get control of them, give them some food. Hey, you know what? I'll go out and buy you dinner if you go rob a store for me. If you're hungry enough, you'll go rob a store, won't you? It's called temptation. This guy doesn't play by the rules. He hits below the belt. You know, the worst thing you can do to a starving person is put a lot of food in front of them and say, no, you can't have it, guys, once you see it. I mean, it's going to be right at their fingertips, so they're not going to be able to get it unless they take the mark. You get the picture? Get the picture? And this guy's something else, isn't he? You think the world we live in today, and I know we've got people that are starving, I promise you that, but you're not going to see exactly what all is going to come. And here's really the whole deal. Because you're going to see in a minute, there are going to be some people that's not going to take the mark. Because what's going to happen, they're going to realize all of a sudden, all the stuff that you have said to people of your family, your children, your parents, your friends about Jesus, and now we're all gone, and now they see, man, they were right. Amen. They were right. And now they're going to have to pick their battles. If they're going to pick God, they're going to have to die. Most of them. Or I'll go with Satan and live. That's horrible, isn't it? See, today you've got the choice. Today you have the choice. No one's forcing you. You have the choice to either believe in God or not. One day Satan's going to force your hand at it. But it's not going to be pretty. Everybody with me say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Larry, here we go. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was what? Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now, we live in a very media age. If something happens on the South Pole, we know about it immediately. If it happens on the North Pole, you know, the ship that was stranded in the South Pole, you know, they finally had to rescue those people. I mean, that was almost live. We can see anything around the world today. Now, I have preached on this several times on the signs getting to this end. And one of the signs is the Antichrist has got to have the technology to watch the world. He's got it now. It's here now. The technology is here now to watch what's going on. A fourth of the population that's left, about that 3.5 years, is going to die. Either by the sword or by starvation, they're going to die. That's a lot of people. Now let me tell you something. I believe he's going to put it on every network that's on TV at the time. Because he's going to see, if you don't follow me, you're going to get shot. You're going to get hung. You're going to get your head cut off. You're going to get your arms cut off. You're going to starve to death. He's going to show the world what I'll do to you if you don't follow me. Let me tell you something. They're going to run to him then. He's going to use the media to get his message around the world. But there's going to be a fourth. Can you imagine the millions of people that's going to truly say, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to die. And he's going to kill them. Now here is what I use this for. As graphic as that may be, why would anybody on this side, on this side of the tribulation, on this side of the rapture, want to go through that? When all you got to do now is just simply say, Jesus, I want to accept you.
Amen.
I want to just live for you. No one's going to kill you. No one's going to take your life. Nobody's going to starve you. And yet they won't do it. Like they just, you know, they're going to wait until they got to die for it. Why would anybody in their right mind want to have to do that? Well, right now, you've got the privilege of no matter where you're at around this world or people who watch me on the internet, all you've got to do is bow your heads and say, Jesus, come into my life. And wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, daylight, darkness, church, out of work, with work, I don't care where you're at. He's going to love you. He's going to accept you. And he is going to allow you one day to leave this world and not have to go through this if on this side of it, you will accept Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why you won't do it, I don't know. But it's my prayer that somebody wakes up, some of these people on this planet, and says, you better wake up because the day's coming. You think you've seen hell yet? You haven't seen nothing. Give the Lord a hand of applause.
Amen.
I'm going to leave it here. Next week, we're going to see these other seals. And in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about this 144,000 people, who these people are, and what are they doing. Believe me, they got their hands full. Thank God, and you'll see what I'm talking about, these 144,000 people coming back. I want to make this come alive on a page. There's some things that I can't get into in depth. I'm trying to teach and preach in the same thing. This is very difficult stuff. But I'm trying my best to make it clear to the people who watch me around the world, on the internet, and those who watch me in this congregation. I want to make this so you understand it. It's just not easy stuff. But I promise you, once you look at it and God's Holy Spirit gets in your heart and in your eyes, this stuff pops right out at you. This is not hard. You just have to watch what you're doing, look at what it's saying, and understand what God's trying to tell you. And I hope when this journey is through, you can honestly say that I have been through the book of Revelation, and it's alive. I know it from cover to cover, and I'm ready. I'm going to witness, and I'm going to live. Jesus is coming one day, but I will not have to go through what's going to have to go through because Jesus loves me. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Precious and holy name of Jesus. Father, this is not easy stuff to preach on. This is very dramatic. But Father, one day the trumpet's going to sound and God's people are going to leave this world. And from that point on, I feel sorry for the people that's left behind. But right now is the day of salvation. It's today. It's offered to you today. You need to accept it. And if you're not sure you're saved, then you need to make it right. You need to make sure. I want you sure in your heart, because all you've got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. I want to believe in you. I want to live for you. I want to accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And I promise you, if you're sincere about that, from this day forth, you've got no worries. Jesus is on your side. One day the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to fly from this place. But if not, you need to get ready too. Because once that trumpet sounds, if you're not part of the family of God, you better get ready. Because you're in for some of the worst times that this planet's ever seen. But why would anybody choose that? It's beyond my understanding. Father, as we preach this series, may it come alive on the page. For the people who watch on the internet as well as this congregation, because I want people ready. I want us ready. It's 2014. God could come this year. Jesus could blow the trumpet. It's within his hands. It's within his grasp. May we be ready as a congregation. Father, bless these ones. In Jesus' precious and holy name, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you come, Brother Larry, would you begin to play for us, please?